Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back again here on Circles of Change, our special Labor Day segment, in fact, focused on labor, work, and getting people back in the groove of things. It's a real pleasure to include an international call here. We're speaking with Paul Hanner in Toronto. How are you this morning, Paul?
I am great, thank you.
Well, great. Well, congratulations as well on your new book, The Panic-Free Job Search, Unleash the Power of the Web and Social Networking to Get Hired. How's it going so far with the reaction to your book?
It's been extremely positive. The book is doing very, very well, and we've got a lot of people reading it twice, and I'm getting a lot of feedback from individuals who are landing as well.
Well, that's really nice. So it gets getting action. You know, anything that catches me, that term panic-free, that's where you want to pay attention. Let me give a brief introduction for Paul before he and I start chatting away. Paul has built an award-winning record as a leader in the placement industry through his work as president of ADV, Advanced Technical Services Incorporated, an international search and placement company. He's recognized as a new breed of internet job search expert by his loyal followers, dedicated to guiding and educating professionals to be really proactive by adopting professional internet branding best practices through his work then as chief instructor and principal of the site Transition to Hired. It's a division of ADV. In fact, as we go forward, for those of you streaming, go right out on transitiontohired.com. You know, Paul, I couldn't help but realize when reading your introduction, as you sent to me beforehand, that it's called placement as opposed to outplacement in this day and age. A subtle twist, but I think pretty profound, isn't it?
Well, when we're talking about placement in terms of a headhunter, yes.
Right.
You know, when they come to us, it's not about filling a job. It's really about finding that right square peg for the employer. And headhunters don't really represent individuals; they represent companies. So
right.
It's really about placing somebody into that spot.
Yeah, and in fact, a lot of people think that should be the first place they network is into search professionals. And actually, any really ethical search professionals will tell you, no, actually, I should be fifth on your list. Your first should be your network, your network's network, your network, et cetera, that it really plays out. Well, Paul, this book obviously is a labor of love for you. It's a compilation probably of years and years of experience. Was this one of you realizing you finally needed the anthology and put it all in one place? Or what prompted you to write the book?
Well, back in about 2007, I was getting a lot of calls from a lot of managers, let's say people that are, 80,000 and above in terms of salaries, and they were really lost. And I spent most of my time being a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
as well as a teacher, teaching people about job search. And they just kept pushing me to say, hey, look, we're getting a job. You got to write about this. This stuff's incredible. And I had been thinking about it for quite a while. And I just decided to pull myself out of the day-to-day running and switch sides. In fact, where I started helping people instead of corporations, and I kind of hid in a basement for about 3 years, and I'm not kidding you, and totally immersed myself in writing this book. And it's been quite the experience because today it's extremely rewarding. I run a boot camp as well, and we're just seeing people take a totally different tack to job search from the traditional aspects.
Well, I, of course, have had the pleasure of reading your book. Again, for our listeners who tuned in, it's The Panic-Free Job Search, Unleash the Power of the Web and Social Networking to Get Hired. But perhaps you could just lay out, either walk us through the table of contents or your favorite ahas or where you get the most email at this point based on people reading the book to give people a sense of your masterpiece here, I'll call it.
Well, I think that one of the biggest ones is that individuals realize that you're in a transition,
mm-hmm.
and your past doesn't equal your future. What you used to do doesn't mean you have to do it now, and you really have to understand today what your competencies are, what are the skill sets that you have, and really creating that sustainable competitive advantage and writing it down. And I talk about sustainable. Because today, as we know, what's being hollowed out is those jobs in the mid area. And there's so much competition for those jobs today. It's so critical to be a candidate and not an applicant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big resume guy. And, that's one of the things that people find in the book as well, is that it's all about getting yourself out there, getting in front of decision makers, because You get hired if somebody trusts you. And the best way to get trust is to make sure that you're referred over to a decision maker. And you can do that through networking. You can do it through a number of different ways. But that is the key to the book, really, is targeting a job search, making a list of your targets. These are companies, finding the decision makers, and then using one of two or three ways that I show you to get in front of them. And be a candidate, not an applicant.
That's true. In fact, the words that I would say is that how do you get to the position where you're not auditioning, but rather you're walking in already owning the end outcome?
That's correct. And that's, are you asking me how do you do that?
I'm just saying that I know I give a lot of coaching to people along that, and that starts back to where you even said, was where are you in your own mind? What committee do you have running around in your head that says, I'm an exceptional X, and now how do I translate that and not listen to some of the shoulds and shouldn'ts of your past, right? That says, well, you weren't good enough to do it then, so how could you do it now? Whatever might be holding you back.
Right. Well, the biggest problem that people, or biggest challenge that people have, once they are in a job search is that they have to be at their most desirable, but yet they feel they're most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So I give you tools in the book. How do you get through that stuff? How do you get through the uncertainty, by using visualization, by using meditation, and one of the big ones today, of course, what we teach in the job and the camp is exercise. I'm not asking people to go out and, start running marathons, but just getting out 20 minutes a day, getting rid of your chair, and setting up a standing up workstation so you're not surfing all day. Setting up a timer, a countdown timer, so you're focused on what you want. And the other thing is figuring out, what do you want? You can't find it unless you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you leave it up to an employer to guess for you, they won't.
Well, I think the other misnomer, of course, you and I both know the statistics, is people think that, that these job postings that are out there really reflect what companies have in mind. And actually, a significant, at least here in the States, I don't know if this is the case in Canada, but here in the States, a significant number of those postings have already been filled, or they're already designated for an internal hire or an internal move, but they have to instantiate it per their process, or companies just want to present this semblance that they're growing, so they have job posted. And so then your credentials fall into this black hole, and you right away get this feeling of rejection and so on and so forth, when there was never an opportunity perhaps there to start with.
Exactly. And that's why it's so critical. If you can get to a decision maker, and, through a marketing letter like I show you in the book, or even just calling them and alerting them to the fact that your resume is in the lottery pool, I call it, and they pull it out,
exactly.
They pull it out, and that's what's happening with all, so many of the people that we're coaching right now is they're getting their resumes pulled because of a letter that they sent. Mm-hmm. And one of the critical things is get away from email. It doesn't work today. They get too much of it. Use an actual letter. Old school works. People read their letters.
And we talk, you bet, and on top of that, pick some very nice high-quality stationery, matching envelopes, and an appropriate stamp even, so it makes it through the who opens up the envelope screen.
Right. And I say as well, handwrite the envelope as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we find, we have the VPs that come to, CEOs that come to our boot camp as well, and they say they open their mail. That's what they do. And they're like, yeah, that makes so much sense, right? And so we're finding that that's one of the best ways to get in front of decision makers today. The other thing about job postings, though, they're so important. One, for one reason, it's the intelligence that you can get from job posting.
Very good.
And that's what I talk about the web and the book, is your ability to use search strings, like the Google search strings and the Yahoo search strings. We've got over 40, 60 pages on our website that people get when they buy the book. They get the special password and they can access that. But it gives them the full how to x-ray LinkedIn so that you can get all the names that you want without having to have all these connections. And Google is your friend. The web is your friend for intelligence. And once you've got the information, then it's easier to target and know what to speak about when you are speaking to a decision maker. And also you can find out what are they doing. Oftentimes the company will not put out that they're building a new product, but you can read by the job description, by what they're hiring, what they're actually going to be working on. And you can get that leg up. And next thing is, look at the old job postings. Oftentimes somebody's in the job, they've been there for 3 months, and the manager is not sure. Am I keeping them? Am I not keeping them? If you send the resume to HR and HR has found out about it, they're not going to send the resume up. because they consider the jobs filled.
Filled in that. And in fact, they feel that they've done their bit and moved on. But you're right. There's a lot of churn and burn after a candidate gets placed because in this day and age, you know, our whole process hasn't been as efficient as it used to be because of the numbers.
Well, that and the fact that jobs are so much more complex today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you read these job descriptions, tell me, how many of them are written in English? I mean, they're not. You know, you get stuff like strategic agility, you know, and all these crazy words, all this corporate speak. And oftentimes, even when talking to the managers that have these job descriptions, and you ask them to explain it to you, and they're like, you know, I can't figure it out myself. And often they're pulled off the shelf. They were written 4 or 5 years ago.
Exactly.
But the job has changed dramatically, and that manager does not even know what they want. When you show up and you can show them what you can do for them, not what you've done, but what you can do for them, all of a sudden that light bulb goes off.
You know, I'm thinking, though, let's back up a bit, Paul, as I'm sure a lot of people are saying, okay, the one thing you said is that you get hired if someone will hire you based on trusting you, and you get brokered in. So some of the tips and tricks and mindfulness of how you get brokered in, who is it and how is it? I know one thing I work a lot with, I mean, we're in a town and part of the country where particularly involvement in philanthropic organizations is held at high value. So a lot of the decision makers are heavily involved in the Boys and Girls Club or the United Way. And again, provided that's true to your own passion of giving back, that it's a great way in a non-threatening, non-job related way to shoulder up and indeed meet some new people that can indeed look at you as a total human being.
Right. Well, one of the big things, obviously it's networking, right? And, you know, let's get that dirty word out there. And when we tell people about it, they get all, you know, all freaked
out.
Yeah, they all get all freaked out. Because why? Because we're just telling them what to do. We're not showing them how to do it. And that is the critical part. What happens for most people is that they feel that they're intruding on somebody. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's not the case. Most people want to help you. It makes them feel good to be able to help somebody. But the problem is that most people come into networking with the big show. They come in and say, hey, I was the manager of this. I did this, and this. And they're just hitting you with all these qualifications and all the rest of it, rather than talking to you as a human being and being honest. And what do I mean by that? Dropping the wall. I'm not talking about going in and whining, but coming in and saying, hey, I need some help, professional to professional. Right? Here's the list of my target companies. I put down 30 of them. I'd like you to look them over and see who do you know at this particular company or that particular company. I don't expect you to give me any names unless you get to meet me. We can either do it on Skype or we can do it face-to-face. But using a strategy that actually works, a lot of people think just going on LinkedIn and connecting with somebody is networking. It's not. Ing is an action. And it means taking it offline and cultivating that relationship.
Well, in fact, I had someone this week just had a very nice reflection. They said, you know, the word networking, and as you said, people get clammy, sweaty in their hands because they view that means going to, you know, a cocktail party where it's almost like speed dating and you're forcing your business card, which some of us are happy to go do that and can do that, but others, you know, they don't engage with people in that way. And if we change the word from networking to relationship building, that's a whole nother game, right? And in fact, that calls for our relationship comes from shared experiences and being yourself, even if it means, you know, let's go for a walk and have a conversation.
Right, right. Well, you know, in the book, I call it job search talking because that's, you know, just to take that word networking out of the equation, it's just about talking. That's all it is. And if you let yourself connect with somebody, it's funny how they jump in to save you. Because, you know, we make people do things live right there in our boot camp on the telephone in front of everybody. And it's funny how decision makers jump in to save you when you're stuttering and when things aren't working. Because they've been there. They know what it's like.
Exactly.
And that's the whole thing. It's just, so that's one way. The other one, too, that is kind of interesting here that a lot of people don't think about is go to the highest level possible, usually two levels up above your manager. Target that decision maker. If that decision maker decides to send that marketing letter down to a manager, what do you get automatically? You got an automatic stamp of approval.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as good as networking. And oftentimes, that's all it takes. you know, they get the oftentimes even with a resume, the manager, the VP never told them, call this person. But the assumption is there.
That is there, exactly. We're speaking with Paul Hill out of Toronto, Canada. His new book is The Panic-Free Job Search, Unleash the Power of the Web and Social Networking to Get Hired. So, again, this is about relationship building. So, Paul, again, you used in your title social networking and the web. Mm-hmm. So that might sound a little antithetical, though, because that still has got this electronic screen thing. How do you help people strike the right balance?
Well, you know, the web, when we talk about the web, it's an incredible sink of information. And how do you use that information? And that's where those tools come in. They're so, so valuable. One of them that we talked about was the Google search strength. The other one, of course, and I'm sure everybody's heard this, you know, over and over again, is LinkedIn. But how do you use LinkedIn? What is it there for? And one of the ways to use LinkedIn, of course, is to connect with other people. But when you're connecting with other people, most people always ask me, well, how do I connect with somebody? And they're always focusing on somebody that's employed. And I say to you, these unemployed people that are just like you are going to get employed someday. It's not about right now. It's about the future. It's also about expanding your region, your attractiveness.
Your territory.
Because today the world is global and opportunities are coming to people from all over the world. Being on LinkedIn and getting up there and being part of groups and offering your opinions and putting up statuses will get you noticed. And, you know, we had one person that read our book who was in Calgary, Alberta, who is an electrician who lost their position and was approached by somebody in Dubai for a position to go and work in the fields in Dubai. Mm-hmm. Had they not had their profile on LinkedIn, they would have never found them. And that's the point, is that today it's no longer just about what's in your backyard. It's about the world and how you can use that to really expand your opportunities. And professional eye branding is all about that. You know, so many people talk about personal branding, but I really think what's really important to an employer is what are you like as a professional?
Mm-hmm.
The personal side of things tend to make us lose jobs, you know,
right.
You know, the beer pictures and all the rest of it. The professional side is really about positioning yourself. What is it that you're passionate about? What are your interests? What are you good at? And then marketing that and getting that out there so that you're known. One of the biggest things that we all know today is social proof. And that is just as important in the professional realm as it is for corporations. And when you get social proof from other people, so important. One big key advice here. You know, when we talk about the web and social networking, oftentimes are associations. So, for instance, if you're an engineer, there's an association. In that association, there's forums. Are people on those forums? That's one of the best places to be. It does not have to be on LinkedIn. It doesn't have to be on Facebook.
No, in fact, those kind of things also, though, it shifts the table that this isn't just about giving and taking, but it's the idea of giving and giving and expressing your ideas and offering resources. And you are absolutely right that those who are similarly in job transition, that the more you give to someone else, you might be totally surprised how it eventually will come back to you in ways you could not have expected it.
I agree with you fully on that one.
Paul, the reaction to your book, are you finding so far, those are picking up on it, and of course, that they're kind of from a whole cross-section of different industries, different age groups, you know, different walks of life, different stages in their career even?
It's appealing to people who are career-minded. That's the book is really appealing to them.
So be clear here. You're saying people who really want to build something out, not just do projects and jump from one thing to another.
Well, right. Well, that's there, too. But what I mean by that is more of the professional-minded individual, somebody who wants to build a career. It could be an electrician to you know, a CEO, basically. But the group that's really picking up on it, like super huge, is that 40 to 55 age group, because they really identify with the first four chapters about losing a long-term position and then watching their career start a downward spiral and not knowing how to stop it.
Well, I think the other piece of that is that group also is more apt to really be questioning, you know, is this all there is?
Right.
I mean, isn't this time for me to really trade up and maybe even something bigger than transition, but actually transformation, if not even a renaissance, and shift completely over to being a social entrepreneur going in a not-profit world as opposed to where they were for their formative years of their career?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's you know, that's what's happening for many of them. I mean, they're coming to me, they're calling me, they're asking me, you know, I don't know now. Now you've really opened up my my brain, you know, and
I'm
not sure if I want that job. So I tell them, look, you got to put bread on the table. If you do, if that's your situation, go get a job. That's okay. You know, I don't have a problem with that. But while you're there, don't just lay back and get back into the 9-to-5. Focus on what you want, figure it out, and go and get it. And that's what I tell people. That's what this book is about. It's about never, ever having to do another traditional job search ever again. That's the ultimate conclusion to this book. It's about, okay, go and get hired. Go and get that great job, or go get that job that you have now, but don't stop there. Start networking like crazy. Start attracting opportunities, and map out your career.
Well, and in fact, those kind of techniques, by the way, are vital with regardless of whatever role you're in your company to attract new business to your employer at the same time. We're speaking, by the way, with Paul Hill. His new book is The Panic-Free Job Search. You can get more information at transitiontohired.com or also www.panicfreejobsearch.com. You know, the other element here, of course, Paul, you have a few nice comments about the power of freelancing or becoming a contract employee first before getting the opportunity to go full-time. It's almost like a mutual test drive, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, often people ask me, what should I do if I'm, you know, been unemployed for a while? How do I keep my skills sharp? And, you know, there's time banks out there, mm-hmm. you know, where you can barter stuff for. And you can keep your skills very sharp doing that. There's guru.com. There's elance.com where you can offer yourself up. There's also the freebie. But many corporations, because of laws and insurance and that kind of thing, can't really take on a lot of they have to hire you in some format or not.
Mm-hmm, right.
But smaller corporations, and that's where I find there's a lot of nectar. But that's where I find the sweetest jobs are is in these small, medium-sized companies where you can get to the top dog and speak with them, either the CEO or the general manager of the place. And there's a lot of great jobs in that particular some really great
environment.
Nectar.
Well, and particularly for individuals that are age 40 to 55 who bring a tremendous amount of life skills and employment skills, then the small to medium-sized company, unless they've had a lot of growth or turnover, whether it was voluntary or involuntary, they sometimes don't know what they don't know or what they don't need or do need, and thus bringing in experienced professionals in a variety of places in the firm can suddenly trip up a whole nother series of opportunities for you as an outsider coming in.
Right, and of course the growth is phenomenal for these companies. And what we're finding with a lot of the senior people as we move them through this process is that they are landing what we call, you know, an interim CIO position or an interim director position.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're finding themselves is they're finding, hey, you know, I like this.
I like the interim, exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to be, you know, like, so I go in, I can work from home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to move to, you know, Massachusetts or wherever. You know, I can stay where I am right now. I can do the job. I come home. They pay me twice as much. And then I get something else. And they're really digging it, you know, not having that pressure on them that they used to have. And they're finding they're really liking this new these new opportunities that are opening up.
And I think this
way.
Would say for individuals who are more junior in levels of responsibility too, that becoming a freelancer, particularly if you're thinking about shifting industries, is a great way to say if you really fit to that given industry, whether it be the pace or the content. Not that you aren't a fast study, couldn't learn everything, but sometimes not until you get there do you really know what you got.
Right, trying something out, of course. And, you know, I always say it's better to take action than do nothing and wait. That's just the way I am. And I find that, you know, if you go out there, you try things, then all of a sudden other things open up. I always say it doesn't matter which decision you make, make it the right decision.
Mm-hmm. And then revisit it as you need to be. In fact,
yeah.
Those opportunities you're speaking of, too, is what you do in your after-hours time that might make you wake up and realize you've got some skills to contribute to others. Again, our guest has been Paul Hill, The Panic-Free Job Search, Unleash the Power of the Web and Social Networking to Get Hired. Paul, how can people contact you then?
They can reach me through my website. There's a contact button there, but they can also reach me, of course, by just calling me at 416-831-6964 or paul@transitiontohired.com, my email.
Thank you, Paul. One last question. How is it that you think you've changed the most by helping others change?
Oh, my gosh, that's a great question. Well, it's made me a lot more empathetic, I believe, that I can feel people's pain a lot more. And I didn't realize how much pain there was there. And I didn't realize how much help people really need and how afraid they are to actually ask for it. So now I stand up, you know, and I offer it because I feel that people are just afraid. They think that they're lesser because they don't know it all. And so I find that I just, you know, hey, I can see you're in pain. Let me help you.
And in fact, wouldn't you say that's actually something any of us and all of us can do, regardless of where we are in the employment cycle, is to offer that, how can I serve you? Paul Hill, thank you so much for contributing here on Circles of Change. Again, his book, The Panic-Free Job Search, by Mr. Paul Hill in Toronto. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
You bet. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it. Going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.